This is River Sage, the Book of Sonnets by Vyogi. Author, Kunwar Vyogi. Narrated by Anne-Sophie Marie. Cover by Rajbir Aluwalia. Languages, English and French. Publisher, Kunwar Vyogi Memorial Trust. Copyright, Poonam Jamwal. Introduction. Kunwar Vyogi, National Award-winning poet par excellence, was also an Indian Air Force officer and war veteran. He wrote in English, Dogri, Urdu, and Hindi. He completed his first draft of 260 English sonnets around the same time he completed his compilation of 200 Dogri sonnets. But he published the Dogri sonnets first, as he wanted to give to Dogri its first taste of fresh new form of poetry, sonnet. The first by any regional language poet in India. It was attempted before, but never with such wealth and literary value and volume. It received critical acclaim, and he came to be known as the father of Dogri sonnets. His anthology is part of the curriculum of the Dogri Language MA at the university. Dogri is a language spoken by people living in the foothills of the Himalayas from the Jammu, Himachal Pradesh and Punjab regions of India. Year 2018 is dedicated to his works in English with special focus on sonnets. Kunwar Vyogi Memorial Trust has taken responsibility to carry forward his English sonnets to the readers. One anthology of 350 sonnets was out in early 2018. The new anthology is an attempt to bring select most loved sonnets for the pleasure of readers in a shorter compilation. River Sage Sonnets by Vyogi is a curated anthology of select 45 sonnets with its audio version. This also has a special audio-video anthology under Project Sonnet by Vyogi, set up to popularize the sonnet as a form of verse. Another gift from an indomitable, passionate writer and poet to the world of literature and English language. With this, Jammu region and India will present to the world one of the greatest English language poet of the 20th century. Trust extends its gratitude to Anne-Sophie Marie for her voiceover and French translation of Vyogi Sonnet's words, available in the anthology. It's best to connect with Kunwar Vyogi and his passion for sonnets in his own words. Note from the author. In writing the sonnet, its lucidity, simplicity, sobriety, knowledge of diction and how to rein it in, all these assume great significance. In the absence of these, the sonnet may appear to be aesthetically composed, but it becomes lackluster. I have had a long affair with the sonnet. When I first read the Shakespearean sonnet, A Consolation, I fell in love with the form of the sonnet. The concluding couplet of the sonnet simply seeped into my being and became a part of me. The ending couplet of the sonnet is, For thy sweet love remembered such wealth brings, that then I scorn to change my state with kings. In those days, I also read two other sonnets, Milton's On His Blindness and Keats's On First Looking into Chapman's Homer. That left an indelible impression on my mind. There was no one to guide us in this field, and so like an amateur, I would read whatever I could lay my hands on. Whenever I read sonnets, I got the feeling as if it were a musical strain that I had experienced before and a sense of coming home or déjà vu. It is quite difficult to present a situation or a conflict for 12 lines and reserve only the last couplet for resolution. A sonnet seems well-rounded only if it concludes with the characteristic two lines that have the brevity of a proverb, comprehensiveness of voice, finality of a couplet, and the flexibility of poetry. It may be likened to a bow and an arrow. One can pull back the string of the bow for 12 lines and then shoot at the last two. The shot must be so perfected that it not only targets and endures its mark, but draws the very life out of it. If it achieves this, then alone does a Shakespearean sonnet realize its brilliance. One finds an abundance of lyrical and musical sweetness in it. The sonnet penetrates our consciousness most easily, almost like a thoughtless thought, and the subsequent stirrings simply grip and entice the soul. A sonnet is that particular guise of poetry that encompasses within it the entire poetic expanse. The best poetry is when the words, melody, the balance of thoughts come effortlessly from the heart. It is forged in the furnace of one's being and molds itself in the technical structure of the sonnet. I have till now written 261 sonnets in English. Most of my English sonnets follow the Shakespearean paradigm. My only hope is that you fall in love with my sonnets after reading them and you feel inspired to write them yourself. I bring forth to you, my dedicated readers and skilled practitioners, the copy of my book with great love, affection, and hope. Accept my gift filled with immense love for you all. Kunwarv Yogi.
Words. Says Vyogi, choose your words with care. They come in unsuspected meanings garbed, so of their apparent apparel beware, from when they're sweetened to look can be barbed. An inadvertent inflection, change of tone, or unintended stress, careless pause can deadly misunderstandings cause. To misinterpretations, words are prone. The words can cripple, maim, make you cry, or injure deeper than the lashing knives, or with sweet nothings make you sweetly sigh. With light, euphoric breathing all your lives. So keep their consequences in your mind. They can be cruel, also can be kind. Les mots. Vyogi dit, vos mots avec soin choisissez, car ils viennent vêtus de sens insoupçonnés. Prenez donc bien garde à leurs habits présumés. Ils peuvent être cruels, leur air édulcoré. Inflexion étourdite, changement de ton, accentuation imprévue, pose imprudente, cause de mortels malentendus. Les mots sont enclins à des interprétations inexactes. Ils peuvent pétrifier, mutiler, faire pleurer, ou blesser bien plus profondément que les piques, ou quand ils sont doux, faire doucement soupirer toute une vie d'un souffle léger, euphorique. Alors gardez bien leur importance à l'esprit. Ils peuvent être cruels, mais aussi si gentils. Build my castles in the air. Once I tried to walk my dreams and put my mind to only flesh and bone, an overt physicality of schemes. But after a few steps, I fell down. All my muscles, sinews, nerves, and will were powerless to put me on my feet. I tried and tried and tried and tried, but still I found myself squarely on my seat. All my efforts, having all my sweat, which I had pre-invested, were futile. But I had learnt that frustration and fret are never helpful, even for a while. Hence I started dreaming, then and there, and bent to build my castles in the air. Walls. Vyogi leans of Jammu negotiates, and finds around him walls, walls, and walls. Then wonders what stories and what fates are lurking or are brewing. Mating calls of an unlimited passion, smarting burns of wounding, vile sentences, waging tongues of hibernating lust or purest songs. He keeps on thinking till he inward turns and wonders if at all he wants to know what lies behind these walls. Questionings are stilled and smoothed in his furrowed brow. He lets them secrets be the secret things. 'Tis good to let the hiding tales decide their moments to emerge. Let them hide. Flood. Just beyond my comprehension lurks a thought, demanding some befitting words, and teases, pleases, tantalizes, works unknown to me, a shepherd tending herds, of poems and written melodies and voiced, and on the fence it prowling still remains unwarned, lovely unsung, unrejoiced, till enter thou, he lovingly ordains. Then feather-like it falls upon my psyche to push aside the boulders of restraint, and hurtles on the trail so feather-like, so effortless, and without one complaint. That words like torrents come in pouring showers, and the lovely lyrics echo in the bowers.
River Sage. Chenab, with sudden twist and whirl, makes a perfect arch and flows along to do a similar thing just north of Gao, and floods my senses with a central song. At Abaran, it southward turns and goes to ancient town Aknur, and seems to say,
"Have I put some thought unto your brows?
For you are lost, and I am on my way.
Why swim against the currents of your life? Why not to take the path of least resistance, and like me negotiate the stress and strife to add some colour to your blank existence?"
I wonder at the truth of what it says. Is it a river or a sage?
Temple Bells of Jammu. O temple bells of Jammu, pray, roll on. And from my feelings echoing, then return. This life is rough and tough and really stern, so for the sake of harassed self, toll on. I humbly, humbly on you now call on, be ringing, tolling pains to assuage, and keep me company for my earthly age, to have a chance to manage and toil on. Oh, like the days of yore, I fall on your sweetest notes to consultation give, and agonized soul a bit relieved, to make it thus survive and stroll on. O temple bells of Jammu, pray toil on, for when I hear you, all my doubts are gone.
Ambitious men, ambitious men, unbridled power seek. How luckless fatal wish is this not to know? Alexander, son of Philip, mighty Greek, did rise from dust and into dust did go. And likewise Akbar and almighty Rome, for fleeting moments there their fate belied, with loud, defiant, warlike beats of drum, but unfailingly in the end they also died. And great Ashoka's bones now buried lie in the Ganges under heaps of mortal bones, and into dust are turning by and by, all kings and sparkling scepters, priceless thrones. So men who seek unbridled power must, in time by time, be trampled into dust.
Joy.
I, happy, happy, like a fiddle fit, pirouette unto the beat of pleasure hum, and throw my arms around you to submit to hurting hugs. And now that you have come, nor harm to tell of loathsome agonies which tortured and tormented your beloved, to see the miners kissing on the trees, and I so lonesome, unkissed and unloved, to write the letters filled with ironies of circumstances, tear them up and blink the tears away to hide the miseries, lest you may not so cowardly me think. But nestled in your arms, I admit I don't remember pain, not a bit.
Full-throated song. How sad but true that unless grief is told, unnoticed, hidden in the heart remains. And unless man is vocal, open, bold, it feeds upon its vitals, daily gains. Such strange hold on mortals, young and old, so says Vyogi. And this slimly fiend enfeebles, sucks blood, and leaves behind a shell. But still it keeps the strange hold. So beat the drum of grief, oh, loudly beat! In forceful tones, embark upon the world and let it soaring fly along the breeze and tell its woes once and then repeat. And always keep your flag of pain unfurled. No peace, Vyogi, in the silent seas. Worldly wares.
I live surrounded by my worldly wares. In wealth reside. This very fact I rue. And look at all possessions. Furtive stares I throw at happiness, but find no clue. To win one heady moment free of cares, and I feel it melting on my parching tongue. To sing all lyrics that are still unsung and frolic unperturbed like mating pairs. I see one labourer, then in genuine mirth, when breaking stones one moment he espies. He wipes his perspiration from the eyes, when sees his love and rolls on dusty earth. My every moment with such pain is fraught. I know that love is wealth. Wealth is not.
Unpremeditated want.
When some unpremeditated want, superior to all needs and circumstance, confronts me shining, then to it I grant unhindered passage. Let it then advance, like panthers are when wounded, though adroit, so forgetful of scales and mindless cause, such havoc that they let the foe exploit, they spring upon their foe without a pause. And all substantial things I ever did, and every lyric song I did create, were all achieved when I was by it bid. To follow it, O God, and I reiterate, then in its rare appearance I exult, and love its buoyant movement and tumult.
The cliff.
The day I looked up from its base, the cliff appeared to be highest peak of earth. Unconquered, unencircled, bow as if, admiring its own hotentotish girth. Methought, to climb and conquer it was hard. But as my wish to do something was strong, I started climbing yard by fearsome yard, because I think inaction to be wrong. Yard by dangerous yard, as I climbed, uncounted higher cliffs came in view. I felt my urge to climb was rightly timed, because with sense of deja vu I knew. I wondered, climbing, as the air cooled, how easily can the ignorant be fooled?
Not yet.
I am out for nothing, you may think. My actions are ill-reasoned and ill-thought. My aimless life is hurtling to the brink of nothingness. Believe me, it is not. I am out for, not yet, thought of schemes like how to carry water in a sieve, like how to tap the elfin sap of dreams, like how to learn to laugh, unlearn to grieve. But if you find it hard to so believe, the choice is yours. I, for one, would even say so much as by your leave that you may let me think it can be done. For you are welcome to your
it
own
hurts.
Belief. But
it
leave
hurts
me to
and
my
sorely
fun,
tortures me.
Or to my grief. Whenever bitter truth this message sends, when we account for world's inconsistency, the list is headed by the names of friends. Strangers have no power to create life, the island of privilege and plot. They cannot hurt us deeply or placate the deepest injuries of the heart. To count them out of life is easy. But what pains us gravely gets under the skin. What accounts to an unkindest cut is torment gifted by our kith and kin. Where love is deepest, hurt can deepest be. For to our hearts, the strangers have no key.
Balance.
Keep perspective, balanced fisherman, that you are tiny, sea is large and vast. And though in wonder look and see and scan, but keep the sail securely tied to mast. And from its bowels earn your daily wage. A piece of driftwood, clump of drifting weeds will meet your needs. So let it mightily rage and churning in its madness meet your needs. Oh, just remember that your bold forays are pranks of children on its mighty breast, and all the tempting sands on beachful bays were bolder ones, now broken down to rest. So humble, humble go and cast the line to catch a fish or two on which to dine.
Stolen moments.
One stolen moment from the worldly cares, one wanton thought, one lone unhurried cruise,
one sensuous smile that beckons and ensnares and lingers balm, like on some bleeding bruise, is dearer than all wealth and all repute which laboured effort wins and men possess, indulge in ostentations and compute the cost with genuine pride. Nevertheless, they find that all this ruthless drive has failed to satisfy some vague but restless need. One whispering melody which goes unhailed is irreparable loss to us indeed. One longing kiss that lessens stress and strain is pregnant with more pleasure than all gain. A true friend's advice to bear her loss. How true that grief can never bring her back. Why curse luck? Wail her loss, berate her earthly absence. Why not fill her lack by thoughts of moments spent with her? Fate has taken her. You say all grief is black. It smears sacred moments spent with her. You sympathize. Your presence in the blur unsettles me and huddles in my shack. I all anew bewail her grievous loss and ache and burn. My heart unheeding grieves. How true is what you say, but still, my dear, I try to banish grief, but cannot pass. And you yourself are wiping with your sleeves your eyes, though telling not to shed a tear. Barefoot in the dew. Perhaps the sky was not yet really blue, or maybe I was merely out for fun. Perhaps I had nothing else to do, to celebrate the battles joined and won. Perhaps it was wind, the way it blew, or maybe it was the absence of the sun. Something there was, I neither know nor knew, some unsaid things when all is said and done. I did it! Why did I do it? I, for one, I neither have an inkling nor a clue. When in the middle of my morning run, a patch of grassy meadow crossed my view. I do not know if others did it too, and yet I walked barefoot in the dew. Old Hunter. Time, old hunter, dexterous and adroit, like raw novices, does not run or rush, but stalks the prey with patience. On the quiet, it moves and huddles in the bush. The prey, oblivious of approaching doom, thus hides and feels from danger safe and sound. And likewise humans, when in limited room of understanding, complacency bound, forget this wily hunter, who himself has noiseless made to catch them unaware. He finds them easy prey, engaged in pelf and petty squabbles over land and ware. It noiseless, deathless, endless, quietly moves in plains and deserts on predestined grooves. Kabir. Unhindered by the limits of the language, unlettered poet, ignorant of script and alphabet, was this medieval sage. But he his date with his destiny kept. The language was his maid, meet a slave, and metaphors and similes, balls of clay, he kneaded them and wondrous outlines gave, and on posterity holds ascetic sway. To him, the yogi Thakur pay homage, and Arjun Dev Ji followed his mystique, his all-pervading shadow on this age, I find in whatever poetic works I pick. Extractor of great song from worldly noise, I wish I had your felicity and poise. Enchained. Enchained to a stranger, and handcuffed, as every man in life does feel sometime, I felt. My every query is rebuffed, so stubborn is this stranger in his prime, and my afflicted mind in barricades of ignorance does fumble and argue, embarks upon its silent, fruitless raids and shadows as realities I construe. In meek allegiance, wounded it retreats, subservient, humiliated, in dismay, to lick it wounds. But in a flash it meets the truth, and then in wonder turns to say,
In vain I struggled, made impassioned plea.
All the time was I, unchained to me.
An exercise in futility. My time had come, and I was not so keen to leave this world, for with all pomp and frill, I had enjoyed its pleasures. And unseen were still to be enjoyed. Many still were trails which beckoned me with impish charm. So I engaged all time in deep debate. To slacken him, he thought, would do no harm, and on some problems make him speculate. I said, "To hurry is a brazen waste." He looked befooled. I added with a nod, "And if you must, then slowly, slowly haste." He chuckled, told me, moved with a prod. I didn't argue, weep or make comment. For time, the hunter brooks no argument.
My daughters. Three fairies while asleep. While awake, three restless souls. These my daughters are, and when engrossed in writing, for my sake, they hold their restless questionings, and bar their hushed breathing, every sound is stilled. But when I lift my head or leave my pen, their muted silence is so quickly killed that cacophony breaks out there and then. They query what I wrote, what about, and ask the meanings of the words. These fair extensions of my soul, no doubt, are like the fluttering, singing, chirping birds. I answer them and wonder that one day they would the heath attain and go away. Visit to Patney Top with her. When hand in hand in lovely woods we roamed, of pines and firs and birches so serene, we hugged and kissed and laughed, and now entombed in memory lies this happy scene. Was every nook and corner by us combed? What heady moments, what wild vagrant mood was ours, this love-laden aptitude by lisping whispers of these veterans groomed. Though gnarled by roaring winds, they brooding stand, time-honoured leafy cushions at their feet, and pointed needles skywards in the air, we hid in their shadows hand in hand. He whispered this to me in that retreat. All things are lovely when my love is here. Patney Top revisited without her. Tranquil, peaceful, calm, in solitude. Birch and pine and fir trees stand in truce, and when some vagrant wisps of wind intrude, they sway and sigh and whisper. I deduce their mighty storms, all wrathful, flashing brew, have gnarled majestic trunks of sturdy trees, and bent them double, made them rough and crude. Though now they brooding stand in apparent peace. Love, when I met you first, the woody lanes were the same. These everlasting veterans are bedecked with beauty of some fitful peace, and stand in silence, bearing aches and pains. But where are you? Your absence leaves a scar. What wrinkled, twisted, lifeless woods are these? Consolation. This world, so full of such like wonders is, that soulful verses, words of mine at all, my loves, my deep desires, longed for bliss, are like some child's illegible scrawl on walls of life. And every port and state has once been visited by some sailors past who lived and died with gusto, and all great unrivaled statues by late sculptures cast. And every verse that matters has been writ, and every battle has been lost ere won. At heaven's crowded gate, repenting sit, that herein also I am the late one. But one great consolation I have got,
I wrought with love, whatever I have wrought.
Improvise of silence. Leave your restless wanderings, traveller, hark! And quiet and clamorous voices from within which rise. Oh, listen, be attentive, keen, and what Vyogi says, oh, traveller, mark! Oh, burdened with a word we call success, which world proclaims so loudly, underneath the very loudness lie some sounds. Beneath your breast is harmony within access. So reach for it and listen, pay homage. Not hurtling go to problems in bad taste. Be patient. Silence can with ease manage all calamities which lay humans waste. When you are faced with problems and carnage, in silence meet them, not in clueless haste.
Self-respect. My lips were parched with thirst. When I saw a crystal-watered river flowing fast, I crawling went to it with heave and haul, my dried-up soul to its waters cast. But nearing it, well-willed to sorrows drown, I noticed on its surface ripples dance and manifold its impish charm enhance. To me but to look like irritated frown. On my arrival, peeved and disturbed, I sat then on its banks, though mortified, deliberately all my cravings curbed, and on its banks thirsty died. With open arms, the doors that don't receive I enter not. Oh, life, I take your leave. Life is fair. My love for you is undemanding, simple, and you are hidden in me as desire. And when you smile, your deeply etched dimple starts in me a leaping, flaming fire. Your love is simple, undemanding too, like the liquid murmur of the river on which you ply the lover's sleek canoe, and like the river is abundant giver. Enough is what we give and what we get. Of what we give and get, we are fond. No hopeless hopes we cherish or abet. No reaching for impossible beyond. And as you comb and braid your lovely hair, I look at you and feel that life is fair.
Backward trail.
I harbored thoughts of loving you, but now the worldly things have stolen my attention. The trappings of success, which bestows a feeling of being there. Love and passion concern me not the least. All desire of loving you has vanished. Every pore is continuously burning in the fire of living and thinking of you no more. But sitting in my decorated room with trophies I have won, I can feel a fearful feeling of impending doom and frantic spinning of the time's wheel. Then feelings follow love's backward trail, and all possessions look so cheap and pale.
Sanasar. On Gurdath's jagged face, this lovely spot, devoid of human footprints, habitat of beauty, virgin-like, so sensuous that it leaves me all enraptured, overwrought. Then I thus feverish on this paper jot, eulogies to this place in haunting verse, and with its spotless virginity converse, and punctuate with pause, dash and dot. This breathless, undulating, heady place I visited once. It lives in memories. I think of it, and when, with noiseless grace, it hurtles me into day-long reveries. My memories are mares and sanasar. It's like a sharpened, stinging, tapered spur.
Dew. Ah, there is something magical, divine, in the crystal firstborn starkest dew. Alike untested and touched super wine, our virginity not yet broken through. The night is done, but dawn has not yet dawned. The day is in, but sun has not yet risen. The leaves are all dew-laden, newly spawned. The time is like ethereal plant in vision. Soon the sun will rise and drops of dew will turn into a leafy rivulet. And this process without much ado. the surface of the earth will be wet. Something there is, I often find in you, the fragile virginity of newborn dew.
Tear. Something there is about a withheld tear, something much important yet unsaid, some message undefined and unclear, some urgent missive unheeded, unread. Something there is about a tear unshed, a vibrant sentiment unexpressed, or like a lethal wound which has bled and filled the ins and outs are neatly dressed. Of feeling inexpressible by words, a saber which has not yet unsheathed, an acid playing havoc with innards, like toxic air inhaled and unbreathed. There is something about an unshed tear, which may be full of promise or of fear. Essentials. The loving, unpremeditated kiss, the hidden caress in a friendly voice, abundance of a lover's selfless bliss, the journey undertaken by own choice, the granite in unmitigated hope, determination in determined toil, the firmness of the feet on a slope, a loyal friend remaining ever loyal, the courage of adolescence in travail, refusal to accept the dire defeat, the grimness of the brave when they fail, reluctance in the gate in retreat, are real stuff that make the human dreams, are nurseries of all the lofty schemes. Chaloux's remedy. It was a day when nothing seems to work, and everything appears out of place. Inexplicable, fitful fears lurk and made us feel so meaningless and base. But at that moment, Chaloux came along. She asked me, "Tell me, Papa, what is wrong?" And saying this, she jumped into my lap. And much before I spoke, or did she snap, and told me, "Papa, something is amiss. He looks so grave and funny, sad and cross. If Mama is annoyed, then let it pass, for she is vulnerable to a kiss." I felt my tension ooze from every seam. How little things release the pent-up steam. A plea. Come drain the cup and let me feel it more, and drain it once again and have a treat. My store of love is full for you. The story is my waiting for your lips, and I repeat. When you need love, my love, to me you come, to quench your thirst and deaden all your cares of ifs and buts. Be more with me, handsome, to forget life's whys and whens and wheres. If you can forgive, one thing I recommend. Be one with me and give me all your love, for I can always die for you, my friend. No alibis would crumble my resolve, for without you, my love, I am not I. But with you, earth is mine, and so is sky.
Embrace. Unfulfilled expectations fill the mind, unencumbered with a gargantuan dread, of fearsome fear of nascent words unkind, outpouring from the crannies of my head. Unuttered grievances infest the heart, unjustified complaints remain unsaid. Relationships galore before they start, upend frustrations and turn up dead. The soul is all confusion, body tired, emotions listless, senses insensate. These are the times when someone is required to yank me out of this unhealthy state, to hold me in a comfortful embrace, and let me weep and still not lose my face. All I can do. So many little things remain undone, which needed doing, but I did not do. And hence, with concentration, one by one, I count them and my undoings I rue. So many words of thanks and compliments, which should have given pleasure, were unsaid. So many times, due to arguments, the letters were unopened or unread. The answers were unwritten, unrelayed.
what weakness hampered me and held my hand, that countless little debts remain unpaid by all ill-ominous winds, I have been waylaid. All I can do is to forget this and try to undo my undoings by and by.
Puniness of man. The quake its epicenter outward sends to rectify its kind is not to break our ceaseless march to our mortal ends, but just to make us do a double take and dwell upon our puny littleness. To understand the larger scheme of days, it has its own methods to address that loves to stop us in our errant ways. Then just to see that we do not mistake its microsecond or shocking in our stride, it sends the aftershocks in its wake around its epicenter far and wide. The puniness of man is thus revealed, which would have otherwise remained concealed.
Endearments. Tales behind the wrinkles on your face are known to me in intimate details and hide no threat or burdensome menace or indicate no anguish or travail. And right below your folds of wrinkles lie the passage of the years. Tell the truth, but sparkle in your eyes blazing forth is telling me a story of its own. And on your loving lips, the lingering mirth has with the fleeting moments deeper grown. And I shall thus remember you forever in every living gesture's our rendezvous.
In praise of present. Let future come, oh, as it might, in darkness hidden or with dazzling light, and let the past remain buried deep below the dormant hope's rising heap, and let no past or future touch your brow, and all connections with them disavow, and live in present moment unsubdued, and never on the past or future brood. Oh, if you with your present rightly cope, and do not in the past or future grope, then unobstructed you will make a name, for caution doesn't ever win the game, and only those who plunge in raging waves can live like kings and not like cowering slaves.
On Poonam's growing up. Your youth, and with it care, thick as thinness, have jarringly intruded in your play, and every pore of papa hurts and grieves, but this is what this life is anyway. And why this life is so, I cannot say. The branches harden and the rustling leaves will shed their brownish hues and one day in green attire spend their lovely eves. I also had a doll and I am mad that youth and care came only yesterday. You are my doll and I am very sad. Take you far away. You lost your doll of rags to youth and care. But I am going to lose you, Poonam dear.
A lullaby for Ashami.
You woke up in the middle of the night. Who stole your sleep, my lamb? May I know? What demons did you in your slumber fight that sweat has broken on your lovely brow? But will you tell me? What has woken you? The cold of hills or desert scorching loo? Or did you see your favourite golden mare who saw you creeping tiptoe and then bolted? Or have you seen a worrisome nightmare that you were from your sleep so rudely jolted? The fairies and the demons have now vanished. Somebody, this your mare, shall be caught. But demons will be killed and mare caught. You go to sleep, my lamb, and worry not.
Polestar.
Two steadfast but unhappy constellations, Cassiope, Great Bear, though composed for tracing the pole star by calculations, yet in this common purpose are opposed in method and position. And likewise, my fears and my hopes are contenders for you, my love, though in this exercise are ever emulating starry wonders. Where hopes are shining brightly and ascending, then fears plummet, shamed and unloved. When fears see the hopes fast descending,
They shoot upwards, but you remain unmoved, like Polestar, by the constant tribulations of these two wandering, steadfast, most unhappy constellations. 24 hours. You be a beggar or a great monarch, we know an intellectual or a pious sage. You may be in youth, or you in old age. An insect you may be, or a high-soaring lark. God, the great owner, is impartial one. He has no favourite, partiality excuse. So without fail he every day renews, and hours 24 denies to none. You use them as you wish or as you may, in sacred service or narcotic haze, in laziness or in creature blaze. He takes no notice, gives them every day. But just remember, listen, take account, that every moment in the end does count. The End. This has been River Sage, the Book of Sonnets by Vyogi, author Kunwar Vyogi, narrated by Anne-Sophie Marie, cover by Rajbir Aluwalia, languages English and French, publisher Kunwar Vyogi Memorial Trust, copyright Poonam Jamwal.